This episode of the CMP podcast may contain language not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the CNP podcast special episode in honor of National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day 2023. This episode was conceived by CNP's Narrative Justice Leadership Lab participants. This group features Christina Gooden, Amari Marcos, Lance McCready, Brandon Nicholas, Pure, Christopher Sutton, and yours truly, Ben Robinson III. Enjoy this conversation on pleasure as liberation.
In this here place, we flesh. Flesh that weeps, laughs. Flesh that dances on bare feet in grass. Love it. Love it hard. Yonder, they do not love your flesh. They despise it. This is flesh I'm talking about here. Flesh that needs to be loved. Feet that need to rest and to dance. In this snippet of a monologue from Toni Morrison's Beloved, the spiritualist preacher Baby Suggs has encapsulated the importance of Black people loving themselves. She does this in an effort to counteract the narrative that Black bodies are not lovable because of markers of race, gender expression, and sexuality. We live alongside histories and systems that have claimed that Black bodies are not worthy of the polluted air we breathe, let alone any semblance of joy, satisfaction, or sensuality. Recovering our flesh as something to be loved and pleasured often feels like a luxury that is well beyond our reach. Society, faith communities, even our own families have told us it is inappropriate to relish experiences that have no outcome other than our delight. Hustle and grind culture tell us if we ain't making money, we are wasting time. And social media constantly reminds us that we have not made it enough to enjoy life yet. But that is not living. That is not freedom. In the book Pleasure Activism by Adrienne Marie Brown, she says, pleasure is a measure of freedom. And we believe that to be true. Pleasure is not a luxury, it is our birthright. By pleasure, we mean anything that brings you joy and satisfaction, which includes sex, but is also so much more. Everyone deserves to live a pleasure-centered life. Toni Morrison and Adrienne Marie Brown both advocate for freedom of the flesh through feeling good, in spite of trauma, shame, or feelings of unworthiness. That is pleasure as liberation. That also means that the inverse of pleasure is stigma and shame, as it disconnects and prevents us from living full lives. To be clear, pleasure as liberation doesn't mean go have all the sex, do all the drugs, or eat all the butter pecan ice cream. We aren't advocating for overindulgence. Rather, that you use pleasure as that North Star in your sky to navigate and create a satisfiable life. So what does pleasure as liberation look like? For us, it looks like a world without classism, sexism, or racism. It looks like the end of homophobia, transphobia, fatphobia, xenophobia, and every other phobia that impacts the well-being of people. Pleasure as liberation looks like living in a world where we remove the constraints of systemic injustice so that we can all be free in our flesh to live our best possible lives. In this episode, you'll hear a series of conversations about pleasure. And we hope by the end of it that you will give yourself permission to make much more space in your life for joy, connection, and exuberance. and less room for shame, oppression, and unneeded suffering. Always remember, you were created to experience pleasure. Your aliveness is the only requirement. So get into it. My name is Christina Gooden, she, her pronouns, and I live in Nashville, Tennessee. And I am a PhD student curious about how we talk about pleasure in the pulpit. What brings me pleasure is romantic comedy novels with vivid sex scenes, bottomless glasses of Prosecco, white cake with white buttercream frosting, extra sprinkles, and body rubs by my lover of the hour, and of course, my vibrator. I would like to invite Brandon to introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Brandon Nick. Pronouns are he, him, his. I am based in New Jersey, or New York City, as I like to call it. Pronouns are he, him, his. I just went over that. What pleases me is, and what brings me pleasure, is voguing. I just love how my body feels, and I love watching myself, as random as it sounds, I love watching myself dance, just seeing what my body is capable of doing. As it exists within a Black, queer, and trans culture, really does bring me pleasure. And I will invite Pure to introduce themselves.
Hey, y'all. My name is Pure, and I am based in Atlanta, Georgia. I am a singer, songwriter, all-around creative. So the things that bring me pleasure most often stem from creativity. Great music, of course, great food, great art, great movies. Great times with great friends, great sex, whether it be solo or with my partner. But yes, all of those things are things that bring me pleasure. And I guess I will toss it to Lance.
Hi, Lance McCready here. He, him, they, them pronouns coming to you from Toronto, Ontario. I'm a professor and researcher of education, health, and well-being of Black families, youth, and adults. Some of the things that bring me pleasure, the typical things like red wine, chocolate, sweaty sex, tennis, and laughter and humor. And I'm going to pass it to Amari.
Hi, this is Amari Marcos coming live to you from Atlanta, Georgia. I am a lover of all things culture. Professionally, I'm a creative strategist. I receive pleasure in shopping, fashion, and anything apparel related, but I also am a cultural sponge and I love movies, music, and the arts. And I am going to pass it to Ben.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ben Robinson III. He, him, his pronouns. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I am a creative. I've been creating since I was 16, but writing is my first love. And that is where I find the majority of my pleasure is from writing, from strippers, from men. God, I love men. And just being around my family and having wonderful moments and loving times with anybody that I consider somebody that I ride for. And I will kick it to Chris.
Hey, what's up? I'm Chris. I use he, him pronouns. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm a filmmaker, storyteller, and the current broadcast coordinator at a nonprofit in Detroit called LGBT Detroit. Things that bring me pleasure. Well, I'm a creative at heart, so I'm a big film lover. I'm a lover of music. I'm also someone who enjoys self-pleasure. I'm a part of the BAKE community or masturbation community. But really, honestly, recently, what's really been bringing me pleasure is just having a peace of mind. It has been a really chaotic year for a lot of us since the pandemic. And I've been really just taking time to kind of find peace within myself. Just sometimes being home alone and just being able to rest my mind, rest my body, rest my soul has brought me a lot of pleasure. And I'm trying to obtain more of that. So Yeah, and I believe I was the last one. So I'm going to throw it back to Brandon and Christina.
Thank you, Boo. Okay, and just as a quick reminder, we are talking about pleasure and pleasure as liberation. And to reiterate, the scope of pleasure is not limited to or solely rooted in sex. This is a conversation about all the pleasures. So my first question will be, where did you learn or understand what pleasure was?
So this is Amari, and I'll jump in. to answer your question, Brandon, where did I learn what pleasure was? I am, I guess, the biggest champion of my own happiness. So I just started like kind of asserting pleasure to anything that made me happy. And, you know, sometimes you have to do those things solo. So sometimes you have to go to a dinner solo or take a trip solo or do whatever it is that brings you happiness without judgment from others, or also sometimes not being included in the part of other people's pleasure, whether it's solo or group or like whatever it is. But championing your own self to seek pleasure and to understand that that's okay. So that's kind of like how I learned it.
Amari, at what age were you, and this isn't so much to age yourself, but like how old were you when you, I guess, grasped pleasure as a concept? Like, oh, this is actually what pleasure is, or this is what pleasure feels like. And again, this isn't explicitly sexual, but like when did you have a notion of, oh, this is pleasure?
I would say around age 15. At age 15, I had a lot of freedom. My parents allowed me to travel with friends. So like I'd like fly to different states and, you know, explore different cities and get to meet new people. And I just learned that it's, you know, that like, wow, like I really enjoy this and this is pleasure for me. Just the exploration of like life and what makes me happy is pleasurable. So definitely, you know, 15.
Thank you. I love that.
I would have to say that as a young Black gay kid, I found pleasure in my writing. And I was my first screenplay when I was like 16. And I wrote it in the series of a whole bunch of copybooks. And my cousins, they read it. And their reaction, like when they were reading it, they're like, oh my God, this is so good. I'm like, really? And that made me feel good. So I know that one of the ways where I definitely get the most pleasure is from the ability to create. Because it's not something that I take for granted, because I know it's easy for me to write. And I know that's not something that everybody can do. And I don't brag about it. I'm not arrogant about it. It's just something that I know is something that's for me. It's something that I do. And if I can impart that on people who enjoy it, that also brings me pleasure. So I know that for me, it's definitely my writing is one of the biggest things that brings me like the most peace and the most contentment and definitely the most pleasure. And aside from that, I would say, like I said earlier, strippers. I love strippers. Like I love to go to a club and just, you know, give you a couple dollars and you like rub your ass on my knee. Like I like that. So writing and strippers, that's me. Yes.
Specifically on your knee.
Okay. I'm just
to be the knee. I mean, but you know, if you get to other body parts, it starts to get a little costly. I think we start at the knee and then we work our way somewhere else.
$5.
That part, I genuinely enjoy the active and intentional support of sex work. And that doing that brings you pleasure. I love that so much.
I was going to echo some of the things that Ben shared. You know, also, you know, I love strippers too. So I think we got that in common. But also, kind of like with Ben being a writer, I think when I really discovered pleasure for myself, was when I was really young. I think it's kind of when I first, started to kind of develop this urge to kind of like create my own worlds, create my own universes. I think when I was like in kindergarten, and I can remember anything, like any type of like drawing object, if it was a crayon, if it was a pen, I wanted to like draw characters. I wanted to build stories. I wanted to kind of create my own worlds. I kind of grew up in somewhat of a chaotic household as a child. So for me, it was always like finding this escapism, finding this way of like building my own kind of like paradise. So yeah, as a young kid, I was really drawn to like Legos and drawing and video games, especially video games where I could kind of like create my own characters. I was a big fan of like RPGs and, you know, anything that had like a character developer. Cause I was just really into like creating my own story. Like, you know, I felt like sometimes, even at a young age, you know, being a Black gay kid, I felt very isolated. I felt like I didn't have too many safe spaces. So I would create my own safe spaces in these fantasies with my imagination. And that brought me so much pleasure. And I think is what really drew me into filmmaking, because it was about being able to create your own worlds, like creating your own paradise, creating your own peace of mind, no matter where you are. And I do that through filmmaking. Like I said, again, that was something I really noticed like in my early adolescence. And it's something that still sticks with me today.
This is Lance. I love this conversation and hearing everybody's stories about pleasure. And, you know, for me, some of the things, I think I basically just associate pleasure with and think of it as feeling good. And some of the things I associate with feeling good, the earliest memories I have early memories of those, and some of them I don't. One of the things that, you know, makes me feel good is eating certain kinds of foods. And here's a strange one, but I just remember having as a snack when I was really young, like 2 or 3, having like Coca-Cola and Ritz crackers. And I remember how that tasted. And I remember how that, you know, made me feel good. And I remember the bubbles in my mouth and the sweet Ritz cracker. And I don't know, it's kind of strange, but I remember that as being pleasurable and making me feel good. You know, I also remember learning to swim and touching the bottom of the pool for the first time, and how good I like feeling that feeling of being submerged in the water and being able to go down deep and touch the bottom and come back. And that made me feel really good. And I also associate pleasure and think of pleasure of hearing other people experiencing pleasure.
One thing that I've noticed, which would have also kind of been my response as well to like, when did I learn or discover what pleasure was like discovering it through creativity. One thing for me that I actually had to unlearn when I had free therapy in college, because that was like the one time in my life that I could afford it, was that so much of the pleasure that I was like feeling about myself was because of external validation. At least in like the regard of doing something and getting praise and like, you know, positive reception for it. I think now, and being in my early to mid 30s, being in a position where like I'm actually now able to discover what does like self-pleasure, both sexually and otherwise, looks like, has been like really fascinating, like not so much fascinating, because I think now the pleasure that I receive and am feeling feels so much greater than, I guess, the pleasure that I was getting or the pleasure that I thought I was having or experiencing.
This is Pure. I'm going to jump in and echo a lot of what's been said already, particularly by my fellow creatives, Chris and Ben. The joy of storytelling and world building was something that was always something that has always resonated with me. I was definitely a Disney kid, so I grew up on all of the Disney movies. I love to read a lot of different types of novels and fiction, nonfiction, and music. The storytelling in music was something that always resonated with me. So I was the kid that looked at the writing credits to see who wrote the songs. And in the era I grew up in, the early 90s, a lot of those songs were Babyface songs or Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis songs. And that's how I gravitated toward those people, because they were able to work with a wide range of artists and tell a wide range of stories with different voices. And so that started me down the path of writing my own songs and writing different types of songs. and becoming an artist in my own right, to create music and tell stories in that way that resonate with other people. So I still take great pleasure in doing so. And let's talk about something a little more obvious, perhaps more salacious, sex. The pleasure in sex, I discovered it through masturbation, through the journey of discovering my own body as a teenage boy, hormones going crazy. You're looking at these magazines in the store that are way behind the counter. And it's like, ooh, those are tempting. And then the internet era came along and porn was easily accessible. So, you know, you're sneaking to look. I'm sneaking to look when my parents aren't home. Like, ooh, okay, this is interesting. Wait a minute. There are boys in this one. I think I like these men. I might be a little gay. That's a whole different story. That journey wasn't so pleasurable. But the physical pleasure of it all taught me a lot about myself. And I continue to learn as a 30-something-year-old person what pleasure means for me. I think that's part of the continuous journey of self-discovery. And I really do love it. I really do love it.
Chad, I just want to say the pleasure of discovering that you like guys, but then also realizing you like guys and you live in a world that's not so accepting to that. Yeah, that's a wild duality. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of jump on it because you had me hollering for a second.
My whole thing was I used to get the bodybuilder magazines back in the day because those dudes was like, they was hot and they was ripped. And I was fat.
Oh my God.
And I was fat. So my parents was like, why are you buying these magazines? Are you not working out? I'm like, I just like the magazines.
Same thing. I was skinny. I was skinny. So they were like, oh, you just want to work out, right?
Mm-hmm. That was my first porn. Like bodybuilder magazines. That was it.
The CNP podcast is presented by CNP, also known as the Counter Narrative Project. CNP is a nonprofit with the mission to shift narratives about Black, gay, and queer men to change policy and improve lives. Check out our award-winning program, Revolutionary Health, on YouTube and our GLAAD Award-nominated digital publication, The Reckoning, at thereckoningmag.com. To stay connected to the work of CNP, join our mailing list at bit.ly/joincnptribe. Now, back to the show.
Why do you think pleasure is like a taboo topic? And like, what do you think contributes to pleasure being such a taboo topic, especially within the realm of like Black LGBTQ culture and like society?
We're not supposed to enjoy anything. We're supposed to be like the sidekick, the sassy friend, the person that can give you fashion advice. We're not supposed to have dimensions to us. So when we do experience pleasures, almost I think like I'm not supposed to feel good about this because everybody else makes me feel like I'm not supposed to even feel good about anything. So I think it's important for us to find pleasure in certain aspects because we have to remind ourselves that not only are we human, we're also valid and we deserve things. And there's a lot of people out there that don't like to see us enjoying things. They don't like to see us showing up. They don't want us to have brains. They just want us to kind of be background characters. Like if the world was Liberty City from Grand Theft Auto, we would all be NPCs. We don't have any storylines. We're just there to just be part of the story. So anytime anybody that I know, especially anybody that claims the rainbow, can say that they found pleasure or joy in something, I want that because there's so many brothers and sisters out there that don't ever know what it's like to find pleasure in anything, whether that be something sexual, whether that be something career driven. I just want to see us all win. So I think that it's very important for us to experience pleasure in any aspect. And I would never judge anybody for whatever you do. If you want to go to the casino and spend all your money, if that brings you pleasure, that's fine. If you want to, you know, have somebody throw piss in your face and that's how you get off, that's fine. Like, I think we all are valid and deserving of pleasure in whatever aspect it comes in. And we shouldn't feel bad about it.
Wait, did you say throw piss in your face?
Listen, some people like that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't judge.
Well, hey, don't that get in your eye and it burn a little bit?
I wouldn't know. Nobody's throwing piss in my face.
Oh, okay, this is not personal experience.
Got it. You can still throw piss in your face and have your eyes closed.
Or you wear a mask like they've been telling us to do for the past 3 years. Just wear a mask. You'll be all right.
I was just trying to make sure this wasn't a personal testimony.
Well, as soon as I find it, I'll let you know.
This is my story. This is my song.
Ben, your response actually brought up several good points. And I do want, before I even get to those, I do want to say that whole Grand Theft Auto Liberty City analogy, you ate that. Because like what that also, like the subtext of that for me was, I guess, twofold. One is just like how representation in media also impacts the way that we perceive how we're supposed to receive or allowed to receive pleasure, right? Because if we're often seeing like in these magazines, in these like TV shows, and even in like, you know, the early porn that we were sneaking and watching, like y'all were talking about magazines. I was the girl who had like, you know, the illegal cable box in every room. And, you know, there was that one station that you would go to, and depending on how your antenna was, you might see a bit of a booty and a bit of a testicle or a little Skinamax moment. But like oftentimes they were always like 99% of the time they were straight. 99% of the time they were also white. So like the general consensus is that, of course, white cis people can have pleasure because they think that is something that is afforded and inherited to them, where we are often left wondering what the fuck does pleasure for us look like? What does me liking, you know, another man and wanting to know what his dick feels like in my hand, like, how do I find that?
Here, I think we just have to talk about the impact of the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Like, that's had a huge negative effect on the way the association between a sexual pleasure and Black people in general, and specifically sort of Black gay men and sort of sexual pleasure. I can remember, you know, dating, you know, in my early 30s and wanting to do oral with my boyfriend at that time, and how he was so offended that I would want to do that without a condom. And I remember thinking, well, that's what, you know, I wanted to, obviously, not, maybe it's not obvious, but, you know, wanted to give him a blowjob without, you know, the feeling of a condom in my mouth. You know, I wanted a dick in my mouth, not the penis with the condom. But I remember, you know, that was one of the height where I don't even think there was a clear understanding of whether or not, you know, HIV was transmitted, you know, orally, or what percentage of it was and how safe it was. And so I think that's just one example of how sort of HIV/AIDS and the HIV epidemic really, and all the quote unquote health precautions around it, sort of really shaped the relationship between gay men, sort of Black gay men, Black people, and sexual pleasure. I think that's been hugely impactful, and essentially now almost so much sort of game sex or gay sex or same sex desire, really from a medical standpoint, is associated with risk. There's really no reason to talk to sort of doctors or any medical professionals about sexual pleasure except in the context of risk.
I think you're right, Lance, and I think that's why it's so important that we have conversations like this, because even in a place like Atlanta, where we have access to LGBTQ-friendly or even queer medical professionals and medical offices, most of those conversations are still around the risk associated with being same-gender loving or being queer in some way. instead of how we pursue pleasure. What do you like? How do you engage in that in a more, in a safe manner or in a healthy manner? I think would be more constructive conversations and conversations that are more conducive to, let me say, more holistic and more conducive to our overall well-being.
Rustina, do you have any insight or any perspective you'd like to offer into the conversation?
Yeah. Sorry, I've been listening to y'all, and it has just been an absolute treasure to listen to all the stories and all the pleasure, and I celebrate that. And I feel a tinge of jealousy that you all were exploring pleasure at such a young age. I came from a very conservative, very religious home, and so pleasure was very much a taboo topic, and my body and how I showed up in the world was a very controlled thing. And so it has taken me, I'm almost mid-30s at this point. It has taken me probably until I was late 20s, early 30s, to figure out what pleasure was, and how to experience it. And which is why I'm like on this whole path of really trying to figure out how do we talk about this for me in faith communities, but just in general. For as sex focused as we are as a society, we are still very awkward when it comes to pleasure. And so there's a lot of space for a lot of conversation. And this is the start of the conversation, to know that people are experiencing pleasure in nuanced ways, in the most beautiful ways, and that it's not always sex focused, but it can be sex focused. We can be at the strip club trying to get it in. Somebody somewhere is getting pee thrown on them. And I love that for them. And I celebrate that for them.
Congratulations.
We love that. We celebrate you. Holler at us and let us know how it goes. But
I still have questions.
I still have a lot of questions. I really want that person to be hydrated when they're throwing that pee on you. But like, that's neither here nor there. but yeah, so I think that the question that's coming up for me is like, what's the memory or moment of pleasure that made you feel liberated? And I think for me, it was my 30th birthday when I did a boudoir photo shoot just to celebrate turning 30. And it was the most liberating experience. And the photographer, when I got naked at one point, she was like, oh, you became a whole new person. Like, you really came into yourself. And I said, that's what they say about me. When I'm naked, I'm my best self.
I know that's right. Not so much a memory, but a moment that has lasted over years, and I guess in many ways is still lasting, is just like the freedom that I found in being my fullest self through the grace of being in a relationship with a very loving and soft person. So like my being with my partner, who has actually given me space to grow into all of the corners of my life that I needed to grow into, to now be able to show up in the world as fully as I do, when so much of my life, and I know like this story is not like a unicorn story, because I know this tends to be the case for a lot of queer and trans folks, but like when so much of my life I'd spent like denying myself who I was because of society or like familial ties, to have grown into a place, and I'm still growing, but to have grown into a place where just me walking into a room and not having to like feel the need to code switch or like to actually have to put on the mask of masculinity to actually just go in and be like the full black faggot that I am has literally brought me some of like the most profound, freeing, liberating pleasure that there is. And I think I was actually able to do that because I am constantly surrounded by people in my community who genuinely are invested in like all of our collective like happiness and joy and literally want all of us to be free.
I think for me, it wasn't one specific moment, but as I grew my network and my circle of friends, specifically Black queer men, that were so wide ranging in experiences and professional careers and interest, it has continued to expand my thought process and expand what pleasure means to me, because it not only builds me up, but it also shows me what's possible, because the mainstream media is not showing us what's possible or hasn't shown us what's possible in that same way. It removes some of that guilt and shame that religion specifically taught me and has taught so many of others. So I think that sharing our experiences in a forum such as this is liberating, not only for ourselves, but for people who are listening to this podcast, and people who are listening to our voices. So I think it's important that we share as much as we're comfortable, but as often as possible, because your liberation is also someone else's.
Everybody's articulating this thing I was thinking about earlier in the podcast, which is just how pleasure is such a relational experience and a relational sort of concept, you know, one's relationship with oneself and one's relationship with others. I think that that's, for me, important, that, you know, there's both the self aspect of pleasure and then there's also the relationship with others aspects of pleasure.
I think really finding community and really building like affirming safe spaces. I want to go all the way back to when Ben was talking about, like, if you enjoy somebody throwing a bucket of piss on you, if that brings you pleasure, you know, love it, live it, right? So one of the big things for me, and something I've learned, especially as I kind of lean into my later part of my 30s, is that, you know, what pleasure might look like for me may look different for someone else. And I think it's really about finding spaces and places where we can have these conversations openly, and where we can learn, especially when it comes to consent, right? I was about to say, like, this month, there's a big event called Mid-Atlantic Leather, and it's a leather conference. I think it's held in D.C. And it brings a lot of folks who are into the BDSM kink fetish community together, to, you know, have fun, but to also, you know, be further educated, to build connections, to get a greater understanding of what brings them pleasure within that particular scene. The organization I work for, this is like a quick plug. We have a winter pride event called Cold as Hell. And it's centered around educating folks on the BDSM and kink scene, specifically for Black LGBTQ folks. So we're filming that at the end of this month. We'll be airing it February the 13th. But the reason why I say all of this is that, like, even when we talk about, like, I think especially recently, we've been seeing a lot of folks who have started to realize that some of their experiences, sexual or non-sexual, at the end of the day, haven't really been consensual. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that we live in a society that will exploit exploit hypersexuality, but won't really teach us healthy ways to kind of practice consensual safe practices, I guess, you know? And I think that really comes down to removing a lot of the shame that we have around sex, but not just sex, but just around pleasure in general, around being soft, around being vulnerable, around being transparent. And I think, you know, especially here in the States, where everything is about, you know, being big and strong and all of this other stuff, I think we don't really give a lot of space for us collectively to be vulnerable and open with one another. And I think if we really want to talk about how we can really have these honest conversations about pleasure, we have to also be vulnerable with ourselves, because a lot of times, a lot of these experiences could come from good places. They could also come from traumatic places. And sometimes we have to learn how to navigate around all of that. But I think it's incredibly important for us to have space where we can have these open conversations around pleasure, because a lot of times, especially for a lot of Black folks in general, like, you'll be surprised how many people haven't even really had really satisfying sexual or pleasurable experiences in general, because they've been told, well, I have to act this certain type of way because I'm a man, because I'm a woman, because of whoever, however I identify. And they're living life without really finding what brings them pleasure, you know? And I think that's really sad. You know, I think I've even gone through that. You know, I think because just being honest, being a Black gay man of a certain size, I've always been told I have to act a certain way, I have to perform a certain way in the bedroom, I have to carry myself in a certain way. And yeah, I got to a certain point, I was like, the hell with that, because that's not bringing me joy. That's not bringing me pleasure. And again, I think if we learn anything within the past couple of years, is that tomorrow is not promised. Life is too short to be living towards someone else's expectations.
The thing that I hate the most about the dating scene right now is that there is no intimacy. And I think that that is one thing that cuts out the pleasure from sex, because if you're just chasing the nut, just like Chris said, like if it's all about the nut, then it's more like, it's almost like a mission. It's like, oh, I gotta get this nut. I gotta get this nut. But you'll never know how good it feels to bust a nut with somebody that you actually like and actually care about. And that's something that I think has gotten washed away with the advent of social media and technology and porn, the way that porn just makes everything look so like, you know, let me fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Like, intimacy is a huge part of pleasure. And I think that it's been taken out of the sexual realm, because you can still have a hookup and still have sex with somebody and still like them. But I think now it's just kind of like, I'm just trying to fuck just to fuck. And that's sad. That is so sad.
Ben, those sound effects were top tier. Thank you for that. Oh my God.
I think there's a theme emerging here that pleasure is also based in connection, whether it be physical intimacy or seeing your friends get their life and achieve all their dreams and the vicarious pleasure that brings you. There is a solo journey to pleasure and figuring out what pleases you specifically. But as with everything in our human experience, there is ultimate joy in connection. There is ultimate joy in community. So I think that there is a communal aspect to pleasure as well that that is emerging from what you guys are saying as well.
What does pleasure as liberation mean to you?
So first and foremost, pleasure as liberation for me is it's really an energy. And it's an energy that I've come into, I would say, over like the past 7 years in myself. When you actually know how beautiful and valuable you are, and you feel that so intrinsically inside that you radiate it and you attract people that are worthier of that energy. When you do that, which is what I found myself doing in relationships over the, I would say, the course of like 7 years, it's such a beautiful, intimate connection. And I'm all about that, because trust me, I've had a lot of sex. I've had a lot of great sex. I've had a lot of scenarios. I can comment on things that were talked about this afternoon, but I won't, because I have to, you know, I have to keep it a little bit PG. Anyway, when you find yourself intimately connected to someone and it happens naturally and it's like magnetism and it's a spark and it makes you feel beautiful and you radiate all over, that is what I love about like pleasure. The fact that you can actually create this energy within yourself that makes you so irresistible. So I'm heavily into that. And it's working. And it's something that you like keep learning. Like I went on an amazing date yesterday with an amazing man. And he was just, the way he looked at me, the way our knees touched under the table, like during lunch, like it was just really, really cute. Like the kiss at the end, like all of that. And I love and I love romance and I love happy energy like that. So I've attracted it into my life. And for me, that's my pleasure as liberation.
I love that. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
And yes, date. Come on, knees touching.
Listen, I was like, as someone who just went on a date last night, I'm a cheers to that. And also say that pleasure as liberation to me means being reminded that I'm a fleshy being, that like I'm not just this like mind roaming these streets trying to like do all these things, and that like I'm worth more than like the labor I produce. But like being able to feel and see and do things that feel good, because I am a body, and a body that matters and enjoys and deserves all the goodness.
I think for me, the liberation part is being free from stigma, and from the negativity and the marginalization, and it being in the connection with oneself and with others, you know, sexual and other kinds of joy, but just free from stigma, free from sort of the negativity, that being specifically the liberation piece of pleasure.
Pleasure is everything. And I think that we should all seek it in whatever form that makes us happy.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I think I said it earlier. Life is way too short. I mean, in the mix of COVID and mpox and whatever variation of the flu zombie apocalypse that we're living in right now, January 6th, all of this crazy shit. You got to find pleasure where you can get it, and you got to hold on to it. And I think especially for Black folks, we've been through so much. Black Americans specifically, so much in this country. And we deserve pleasure. Like, I think we were discussing even the idea of this topic when Brandon and Racina were bringing it up. Pleasure should not be a luxury. It should be something that everyone has every bit of an opportunity to have whenever they want to have it. You know, I think I left a really nice paying, you know, job during the middle of the pandemic, because even though it paid well and even though it offered me a lot of financial opportunities and promotions, it was taken away from my sense of pleasure. You know, for me, I've lived a life where I try not to worship money and materialistic things. I try to really invest in my mind, my body, my spirit, you know, trying to center myself around positive energy. And I've learned in life, you know, I'm 37 now, that, you know, if tomorrow is my last day, I want to leave this earth saying that, you know, I live my life my way and I seek what brought me joy and happiness, you know. And I think that's just incredibly important for all of us, to value every breathing moment we have and to really live life to the fullest. And a part of that is being able to obtain what really brings us pleasure. So I guess that's what pleasure means to me.
This is going to sound like a shameless plug, but I recently released a song called Good Time. And I wrote it. Thank you. Available on all your streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. Get into it. Good Time by Pure. But you know, it was I wrote it during the pandemic when I was sitting at home like everybody else, and so like many of us creatives, my wheels were turning. And when you're watching George Floyd be murdered, when you're watching protests, when you're scared about what this new virus is going to do, and then oh my god, there's another one, this mpox, and then a different COVID strain, yada yada yada, as a Black queer man, I was just like, man, I just want to feel good right now, because there are so many things that are fighting against my pleasure. There are so many things that are fighting against me feeling that sort of liberation. I just want to feel good. And so that's what I wrote that song about. Just as a brown skin person, I want to feel good right now. I just want to be carefree. And that's not something that we often get to do. But I believe it's very much our intrinsic right. And so I was able to channel that into song, and hopefully people listening to that song get some of that energy as well. But I think that's so important that we take on our pleasure, because it's not extracurricular. It is something that's necessary to our humanity and necessary to our healthy, holistic functioning.
I'll just say for me, pleasure as liberation, and like thinking about like my own personal journey, just like living in a world where I was constantly seen and told how we are supposed to be and have been constantly denied from being the fullest version of myself. Pleasure as liberation to me looks like Black, queer, and trans kids being able to just like be in the world free from any fucking phobias or any, you know, hateration, holleration in the dancery. It looks like all of my Black trans sisters and Black trans siblings not being fucking murdered, not dealing with these toxic ass fucking, DL men who do not feel...
That's a whole nother episode, baby.
But here's the kicker. Because pleasure also looks like those same toxic DL niggas who be fucking us in secret, loving us in public. Like, mm-hmm. I really do see, like, mm-hmm. pleasure as liberation, opening mm-hmm. the door for everybody, existing in a world where we are safely and humanely doing what we want with the short time that we have on this floating rock in the middle of space. Pleasure as liberation is a very intentional thing. It is something that I'm like, I mean, y'all know this already because we've had several conversations, but like pleasure as liberation is definitely, I think, what will get us all as a people to a freer place. And I think it is literally like one of the mightiest tools. Like using pleasure as a compass to navigate life has been one of the best things that I've done for me. And just like moving towards things that actually make me feel good and operating in a space that is not from my trauma, but operating in a space that actually pulls me away from it and actually brings me out into a freer self. And that compass has just taken me to like a beautiful place.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this special episode of the CNP Podcast. This series was produced by Johnny Ray Cornegay III, with production support from Brandon Nicholas, Christopher Sutton, and yours truly, Ben Robinson III. CNP is a nonprofit, and your support for our work is so much appreciated. To donate to CNP, visit thecounternarrative.org/donation. Thank you so much.